Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. In U.S. immigration court, detainees have limited rights. They don't have the right to a lawyer. It can be a difficult system to navigate for anyone. But for people with mental disabilities, it's even more difficult.
When we asked them any questions about what happened in the court, they just shook their heads and said, "I don't know."
That's Sarah Mehta. She's the author of a new report from Human Rights Watch and the American Civil Liberties Union. The report found that people with mental disabilities are often deported illegally, including U.S. citizens. Mehta interviewed former and current detainees in 9 states. Most were legal permanent residents of the U.S. facing deportation for nonviolent crimes.
Most of them couldn't tell us anything about what happened in court. They didn't know what the charges were against them or why they were in the detention facility or how long it would go on for. When I asked them what questions the judges asked them, they said they didn't know. They said they were afraid to ask any questions of the judge or supply any information about themselves. They were afraid to say that they had a mental illness because they thought it might be used against them. They were just really confused about what was going on in their hearings.
Mehta found that judges often don't know what to do with people with mental disabilities, except to delay their hearings, which leaves many people in detention indefinitely. In some cases, people have been detained for up to 10 years.
A lot of people can't even provide really basic information about themselves, like what their name is or what country they were born in, where they are right now, what a court is. And those individuals are going forward in a proceeding where they could be deported, even when they have a legal claim to be in the United States, even if they might be U.S. citizens. And they have no right to any assistance from the court.
One of the people that Sarah Mehta interviewed was a man named Lewis.
Everything to me inside the courtroom was like a big blur. I had no idea what was being said or what was going on.
Lewis is a legal permanent resident of the United States. He lives in Miami. He has schizophrenia. He'd committed crimes when he wasn't under the proper treatment for his illness. He'd served time for them. But he'd been well for the past 6 years. He'd worked hard at it, vigilantly taking his medication and attending a day treatment center. In August 2009, he made a routine visit to his probation officer in Miami. When he got there, an immigration agent took him and several other people into custody. Immigrants, even legal permanent residents, who've been convicted of crimes, are eligible for deportation under U.S. immigration law. But Lewis says his greatest fear was not being sent back to the Dominican Republic, where he hadn't lived since he was 5.
My greatest fear of the whole deportation thing was my mind. I don't have a way of controlling my thoughts or my hallucinations without my medication. So that was my greatest fear. My greatest fear was being completely lost mentally.
It had taken Lewis many years to get the proper diagnosis for his illness. Lewis had strong memories of what life was like without his medication.
Yes, this is a very strong fear when you don't have control of what you're thinking or what you're seeing or what you're hearing. My psychiatric illness symptoms are hallucination, auditorial, visual. My paranoia acts up.
The detention facility where Lewis was brought didn't have the right combination of medication for him. By the time he got to his first immigration hearing, he'd been off his medication for about a month.
My thoughts were completely disorganized. I was scared for my life. I had no idea what was going on or what was being said in the courtroom.
Lewis had some help in that first hearing. Sasha Tamem was there. Tamem is Lewis's caseworker at Fellowship House, the day treatment center he attends in Miami.
He was very different from the Lewis I know. I had never actually known him to be without his meds, because the entire time that I had been his case manager, he had been taking his medication faithfully. And I was shocked. He was having trouble focusing. He didn't seem to be able to put 2 sentences together coherently. He was exhibiting racing thoughts.
Lewis asked Tamem to speak for him in court. It was Tamem's first time at an immigration hearing, and he says he found it confusing.
There was a lot of jargon thrown about. I don't have any legal experience, so a lot of it went over my head. So I can only imagine how difficult it would have been for Lewis to understand, clear thinking or not. Luckily, we had a very good judge. She understood the situation and seemed to have some clarity on the difficulties that Lewis was having, and she chose not to proceed until he could get back on his meds, so that was much appreciated.
But it took 3 months and many more hearings for Lewis to get back on his meds. As he was transferred between facilities, he was moved on and off the combination of drugs he needed. Timon provided a letter to the court with a list of medications that could work. Lewis still wasn't able to get them. But Timon was able to get Lewis a lawyer, Allison Kent. She works for the Florida Immigrant Advocacy Center and represents people with mental disabilities for free. She found that Lewis had a legal defense against deportation.
You know, Lewis had a very strong case, legal case, in order to keep his permanent residency under the U.S. immigration law, but really needed to be able to describe to the judge, you know, his actions and what happened to him and his illness, and be able to speak for himself and testify in order to win his case. And so part of the reason it took so long is because of he wasn't always getting the correct medication to be able to speak for himself.
It took another 2.5 months for Lewis to be released. With his lawyer's help, he was able to avoid deportation. Ken says she sees cases like this all the time, but many of them don't have as good an outcome.
Unfortunately, his case is an anomaly. We as a country are potentially, doing an injustice to these folks, violating their rights by putting them in immigration proceedings without legal representation.
Lewis is back at Fellowship House, where he's teaching basic computer skills and doing peer counseling. He says he's grateful for the chance he got to remain in this country with his two sons. And he says he has his caseworker and lawyer to thank.
It was a blessing for Allison to pick up my case. My family thank him. I thank him from the deepest part of my heart. And I'll be terrified of what would have happened if they weren't there.
Human Rights Watch and the ACLU are pushing for the government to require the appointment of lawyers for all people with mental disabilities in the U.S. immigration system. And that's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about HRW, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. Rights Watch is produced with help from Barrett Golding of Hearing Voices. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.